Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kid Fighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or the most efficient way to get the show is on the iTunes search engine. Just enter Lord Gaul, L-O-R-D-G-A-U-L, or enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops up. For the people who are big into Twitter, you can find me at twitter.com/StephenTheWarman, one word. A lot of stuff happened. I was sick last week. I apologize. I wanted to try to do the show, but my voice wasn't coming in at all. So I was like, well, I can't really do the show if I can't talk, you know, clean. So I'm going to try to get a lot to you because we got a lot going on. Like, there's something big in kickboxing all the time. I had a full show last weekend, but I'm going to fortunately have to spread it out, get as much as I can into this episode, and then hopefully you guys will enjoy and you'll be ready for this weekend, which is full of kickboxing. It's like I said in the write-up that I did for Liver Kick, kickboxing is hot right now. There is something going on all the time. And with Glory going around, and with Bellator kickboxing going around, and World Fighting League, and there's just always something. And Fusion's still doing shows. There's just always something. Kunlun, there are shows all over the place. So I'll go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to go ahead and go to The Hague. Let's go to The Hague. We'll start with that one. And Fusion did a card, and the Netherlands once again. And there are some names of, you know, some regulars that you guys have heard before, some people that you're not as familiar with. I'm going to go ahead and mention them. I think most of this card are people that you guys would know. We'll go ahead and start. Samantha Van Doorn, wins again as she gets a victory over Lorena Klein. Here's the interesting thing about Samantha Van Doorn. She is really putting together a good resume for herself as a fighter. She's getting good, solid wins. She had the loss, the one-sided loss to Amon Barlow, but no shame there. Amon's, you know, best in the world, one of the best in the world. But Samantha Van Doorn, if you look at her, you know, this win over Lorena Klein, you look at victories over Yona Wymans, she is really putting together a great kickboxing resume, like one of the best in the world right now. So shout out to Samantha Van Doorn, continuing to get that combination and kick flow going, continuing to score consistent offense. And Lorena's a tough girl to go against because she grabs a lot. Like, she gets into a lot of clinches. She doesn't fight in space a lot. She just kind of throws a couple shots and then grabs, and scores a couple shots and then grabs. It's hard to get a feel for her. Whereas Samantha Van Doorn does a good job of, when she gets into her combination, her hook, low kick, flow, she's Dutch styling it up, and she's able to have some victories. She's doing well for herself in Infusion. They're using her a lot. She shows up in shape, brings the show. I'm happy that she got this win and can move forward. Another fight in the card we're going to talk about. This one went to an extra. Radon Larkoubi. He takes on Aziz Kala. Aziz Kala gets the victory here after the fourth round. Now, I've mentioned Aziz Kala before. Radon is another guy who's fought for the brand before. He's had success, mixed reviews, fighting for Infusion. But man, I'm a big Aziz Kala fan, but I do feel his home is better suited in Full Rules Muay Thai. Like, I feel like that's his home because he plays a clinch style. He plays like a lot of knees. He closes the distance. He doesn't score in space for long periods of time like he does when he brings the fight. And I talked to Lucien Cobrian before, and Lucien's one of the main guys who hates how they score in Japan. He hates that they got rid of clinch, and he hates how they got rid of elbows, and he hates how they get rid of, he goes, whoever coming up with these rules, it's like they've never seen a fight before. He's always, you know, Lucien Cobrian has always come from the perspective of what hurts a guy consistently. So that's why he's going to do a lot of things a little bit different. It's a lot of same side kicks. He'll go a high kick, high hook. Like, he plays a lot of different things because he knows if he can get it there and he can do it fast, he can score. That's how he trains his guys. And they don't stop when they get in the clinch and so on, whatever. Whereas most people prefer a, you know, as far as most kickboxing promotions, they prefer more of a Nicky Holsken style. A person who wins a distance kickboxing match with strong, effective offense that could stop Simone. Azeez Kala is always going to be in that middle ground because he, too, closes that gap and he scores offense. And not the pretty style for everybody, but Azeez Kala is a winner, and he can get his hands raised against a lot of the best guys in the world. I do think he can score in kickboxing range if he played it a little bit more, but I think that he's more prone to want to bring the fight to you. He wants to go ahead, come in, and if we end up clinching, we end up clinching, but I'm bringing the fight to you. You are not going to relax. I'm bringing the fight to you. So shout out to Azeez Kala. He gets the win here. I would love to see him, you know, when they talk about guys over and I mean there are some guys that he's going to struggle with, but I'd love to see him go against some of the guys that are on the Yakal roster. I'd like to see him in full rules Muay Thai. I think that would be a better home for him long term. With that said, he gets another win here for Infusion, and we'll see what comes from his future. Yacine Baltar gets a victory over Rafael Dudek. Dudek is a guy who's been around for a while. He's fought on its Showtime kickboxing back in the day. Yacine Baltar, this is the type of fight I want him to have because, again, developing young fighter needs to go against veteran guys in the game. Dudek is a guy who, like I said, fought on its Showtime back in the day when they had their kickboxing brand. He's fought international for quite some time. It's the kind of win you want in your resume. So good stuff for Yacine Baltar. He needs more fights like this. Heavyweight division brings up a name from the past for me. Fakhri Amanzani, he gets a victory over Serkan Askaglayan, if I'm pronouncing that right. I believe it's Askaglayan. The reason why I bring up Fakhri the amazing Amazian. Fakhri is a guy who came out on the scene a little bit before he was supposed to. He was brought up short notice to go against Daniel Gita, and he lost by low kick on its Showtime card. It's the same card that Bahadur Hari made one of his mini returns from the sport after a hiatus. That night, Bahadur Hari came back and fought Tony Gregory. But Fakhri got on that card, and Fakhri had always been like, if you watch a lot of major kickboxing fights and kickboxing events, he's friends with Bahadur Hari and some of the elite heavyweights, and you'll always see Fakhri there kind of hanging out. But he was never able to put enough consistent offense together for he himself to have the kickboxing success that a lot of people thought he could have had. He's a good-sized guy and decent low-kick whip. I never thought that he was the strongest puncher. I thought he was an all-right puncher, but I never thought he was a strong puncher. But I just didn't think he had the offense consistent enough to beat some of the elite guys. Him winning against, you know, Serkan here, it's not a huge win, but he needs wins on a big promotion if he's going to do something with himself. Because 'tis the time in the heavyweight division. You know, if you were going to make a resume for yourself to move up into the ranks, to challenge some of the best guys in the world, this is the time to do that. This is the time to try to get some wins together, get yourself out there and see what would come from it. So shout out to Fakhri. I hope he can build on it. You know, I do. I hope he can build on it. We move down. We've got Hachin Achahali as he takes on Utley Mariana. Hacham gets the win. Hacham's a guy, again, heavyweight division. Mariana is a guy who they've used quite regularly. I won't say quite regularly, but they've used him on the brand before. He's a solid kickboxer. Hacham, I got to see more of you. This is like, I've only seen him a couple times. Not enough for me to build. Him going against Fakhri, I'm sure they may have fought before, but I'd like to see it again. Go ahead, build on that. Hopefully they're not at the same gym. But I want to see them fight that level of guy. They need to keep pushing their career and so on. And I'm curious to see what happens to them down the road. Infusion world title at 95 kgs. Mohamed Bokhari, also known as Big Mo, he gets another KO stoppage, this time over Mikel Yapi of France. Bokhari, he is ready, in my opinion, to fight in glory at the 95 kg ranks. He's got the KO pop. He's got enough offense to win rounds. I still feel like he looks more to stop guys more than anything, which is awesome. But he's the kind of guy that needs to be fighting in glory on a regular basis. He really should focus on, you know, could continue to win, you know, reign as champion, continue to, you know, hold the title and move forward. But man, I really think that it's too his benefit to, in my personal opinion, to start to look to that glory roster of 95 KD guys. How would he do against the Zach Mokasa? How would he do against the Saul Calavari? How would he do against the Artem Vakhadov? I want to see it. He is a good fighter. I would like to see him approach greatness, and that can only happen if he goes against the better guys at 95 kgs, not to mention Gokhan Saki returning and so on. But Mo brings it, you know. Big Mo, he brings the KO. I always want to see him fight. Very, very entertaining guy. Glad he got the win here. Last fight on the card is Ibrahim El Boustadi, as he remains undefeated as he gets a win over Miroslav Singel. Ibrahim El Boustadi, he's one of the young stars that Infusion has been bringing up. You know, just last year, I won't say they've run into some walls, but, you know, Muhammad Jiraiya had that, you know, war of a fight, and then he had to go on to, you know, go against Tayfun Oskin, and he loses in the final. And it's kind of like, okay, that guy got knocked off, and then Artur Kashinko knocks off one of their champions last year, and it's like you start to wonder, okay, these guys are starting to test themselves a little bit more. Success isn't coming like we thought it would be coming, you know. Boustadi remains undefeated, remains doing good work here. I want to see him down the road challenge himself in that way. 85 kgs, of course, it's hopping in glory. And there's a lot of wins for him for sure in that division. You know, if El Boustadi went against, you know, I'd be hard for me to pick a Dustin Jacoby type against El Boustadi because he's very skilled. You know, I want to see him go against guys, pursue, continue to push his fight resume, fight a Jacoby type, fight a Simon Marcus, fight a Artem Levin. I want to see him fight those guys because I think his skill set matches up with them. But as for now, he's continuing to win and defend his title at 85 kgs for Infusion. So it's always good to have your brand and build off of it. Let's go to China. There were a couple of results from a China card that I want to bring up. I don't believe I got it on my last podcast show, but the WLF, it is the Glory of Heroes. It was... Let me see. I'm pretty sure it happened April 2nd. So I think that that's where a lot of the fights that I'm breaking down are from because I missed last week and I was supposed to get them in. So April 2nd, just wanted to talk about a couple notables. First and foremost, Josh Johnsey, he gets a win over, what was it? It was a KO win. Hold on. I'm going to break down the KO for those who are wondering. But I think it was Xi Yan, was it? Man, I'm driving myself crazy. Got to get my notes together here. Sorry, one moment. And... Sorry, it was Xu Yan. Sorry about that. Just had my notes mixed up. I had the wrong name written down. Xu Yan, the veteran guy who's fought pretty much all over the world. I broke down the wrong name. My apologies there. Josh Johnsey gets a KO over him, third round. Josh Johnsey had dropped him a couple times. And then he does a beautiful job of firing out kind of a masking jab, and then he hides his lead leg, high kick, left leg over the top, scores, Xu Yan goes down. Beautiful stuff. Xu Yan is just an awesome, awesome fighter to come in if you need a guy to put on a good show, no matter where it is in the world, as far as bringing that type of I'm going to bring a offensive style of fight that leaves enough defensive holes for you to enjoy the competition. Josh Johnsey is just an awesome fighter. He's a guy who's got every tool. He's got the speed. He's got the combination in the kick game. He plays with things. He said one of the most interesting things after his last Glory fight. It got stopped after two rounds. And he said, I was looking forward to the third round. It's because he was looking forward to seeing the work that he built on early in the round show up in that third round where he could look for the stoppage. And we're talking about a guy who's already, you know, struggling to get fights as is. Glory is a regular for him. But this opportunity in China is big because if they keep using him, it gives him the opportunity to be a prize fighter at this thing. And to be a prize fighter, you got to have enough fights that brings you enough money to live off of. And I think sponsors and all that kind of stuff helps. But fighting for Glory twice a year, it's cool, but it's not going to pay all the bills. He needs to get himself to a situation where he's fighting a minimum six times a year. This is a start. This is a start to get this opportunity right after the Glory opportunity. So congratulations to him there. We're starting to get a couple of upsets around here. It happened in China. I want to go ahead and mention this one. Kuai Jialang gets a victory over Zhang Feng Chuanana. Of course, Zhang Feng, Thai veterans, more of a full rules guy. First and foremost, I mentioned this when it first happened because the first time I heard of it, it happened with Iman Barlow. She missed weight, and they deducted her a point going into the first round. That's awesome. That's how the game should be done. If someone misses weight, if you were to take that on the scorecards, that means that the advantage that they come in with physically, for those who feel like it's a physical advantage, it means that you're saying, hey, this is what the penalty is going to be. Taking purse and so on, you could still get the win and still get, you know, win bonus, all that kind of jazz, whatever. But if I affect you on the scorecards, that means you've got to come in with a certain type of effort to make up for what you did. And I like that. Not everybody's a fan of it. So this fight went to an extra round. And then it was all 10-8s all around for Kuai Jialang. I can't remember the fight exactly. I believe he scored a down. That's why he got 10-8s all around. But I like the idea that they came into this fight and they deducted to that point. I just think that that's great. You know, it's just, it means something to me that that's the kind of effort that they're putting into trying to address the problem of weight cutting, of missing weight or whatever. I think that that's fair for both athletes. One person's going in and fighting somebody with a disadvantage. The other person can be penalized money, but they still have the advantage if they're a little bit bigger and both people are supposed to cut to this weight. So if you dock them from something in the fight, I think that evens it up. So I like that. And in Iman Barlow's situation, she came out, brought that heat, got her W. Jiang Feng was not able to overcome it all the way, and Kuai Jialang gets the win. So shout out to Kuai Jialang. And again, it's going to happen. China's got a big enough pool of athletes to pull from for them to start getting some of these kickboxing wins. So don't just think that this is just going to be a pool where they just get destroyed all the time. I've got more upsets to come from the athletes from China who are getting better all the time. Some of it's scorecard, but some of it's they're just getting better. Another such upset, Yi Long gets a victory over Enrico Keel. Keel has had mixed results since the thing with Bacow. I'm telling you, it was almost like, I won't say it's the worst thing that ever happened to him, but Bacow not coming out for that extra. Keel gets the, you know, the K1 World Grand Prix, if you will, gets that title by default. Following year, loses to Petrosian, you know, has a couple losses throughout the year. He has not developed consistency since. Yi Long getting a victory, 29-28 is another example of that. Just Long did enough to get the win, close fight. But in the end, it's more to me, the story of this fight is more Enrico Keel kind of touching the gold. You know, I mean, you could say that he's got that title, still got the title sitting at his house, so that means something. But at the same time, you look back and you go, is this guy a top 10 fighter? You know, is he a top 10 fighter? And he had the K1 World Grand Prix title just 2 years ago. I would say he is not. He's going to have to keep working on his game, get that consistency back, and we'll see what's coming for him down the road. The last fight I'm going to talk about on this card, and it's an interesting one for me. Alex Pereira gets a victory over Israel Adesanya. Unanimous decision, 29-28 on all cards. Here's the thing. Right now, Israel Adesanya is a kind of an internet phenomenon. Like, in some of his fights, he's doing, you know, Michael Page-esque stuff with spinning kicks and spinning jump kicks, and he plays with different tools. But the worry that we have in the kickboxing community is he needs that defining W. He needs that win. You know, he definitely needs that win, and that's the thing that he hasn't captured as of yet. So Alex Pereira, he does have those wins. He's had some good runs. His loss to Glory, his only loss to Glory, I want to say, is Artem Levin. Other than that, you know, he came out, got the win over Jacoby, as we mentioned before. Jacoby mentioned before, big KO win there. And then he came out and, did he win? I think it was his draw. I think he got Artem Levin in the first round of that tournament. No shame there, but he won the four-man tournament in Europe. Then he goes to the pay-per-view card with the middleweight tournament, and in that one, which is the last time I believe that we've seen Alex in Glory, he goes out there and loses to Artem Levin. No shame there. And then here, he keeps winning in Brazil, and then he gets his chance in China, and he beats Israel Adesanya. So Israel Adesanya, two glory opponents so far and two losses. That's the next thing for him to capture. He's got to put that offense together and beat a guy with a name in the division, and that's a tough division. There's some good guys coming up all over the place at 85 kg, so definitely want to see more of him down the road. I'm curious to see what his career looks like. I was going to leave this card, but I did see one more. There was a split decision that I forgot, where Tae Ying Ha got a victory over Fabio Pinca. So that's Pinca, Enrico Kiel, and Jomfon Chuatana going down to Chinese opposition on this card. They're getting better all the time. Now, again, you see the fights. There are people who are probably listening to me say this podcast. It's like, dude, it should have went in this person's favor. They didn't take into account this. Split decision, you know, close decision, however you want to see it. It could have gone the other way. I'm not saying that's the case. I am saying there's a period of time where if you told me that kickboxers are going to China, going against Chinese kickboxers in anything other than wushu, I would expect 10 out of 10 to win. You know what I'm saying? Or 9 out of 10 to win. That 10 being the not-so-great guy of the 10. But this is a big card for them. They got some big wins. And the thing is consistency. I can't have one win and then have them lose three fights, you know. They've got to have consistent names, get their hands raised over the months. So that's kind of the next big step for them. We are going to go ahead and move from that card to one of the more fun cards of the year. The WFL World Fight League, as Sauer and, you know, Andy Sauer gets a big win there. Also, we got Martha Grunhardt getting wins. I'll go ahead and go from the card. We'll go top down. Andy Sauer gets a win over Muhammad Kamal in a very fun, very exciting fight. You have to imagine it was. Muhammad Kamal can fight. He's still a younger guy, even though he looks older. But he just had a lot of success so quick into his career that people realize he's not super old. He comes out there, and we just got a combination kick fest with him and Andy Sauer. And I thought that Muhammad Kamal, there was a round that was close. Maybe I leaned towards Andy. I thought maybe Kamal, if I'm remembering correctly, Kamal round one. Andy started to get some work a little bit better in round two. And then in, towards the end of round two, Kamal started to pick it up. And then in round three, Kamal really started to score well. And then Andy Sauer scored some offense that had Kamal hurt with the hands, scored a down, and that down guaranteed the fight for Andy Sauer. But before that, it was an all-action. The crowd was into every punch. They were both throwing heat, fans on both sides. It was an awesome kickboxing event to watch. Couldn't have enjoyed it anymore. It was really a lot of fun. Glad that Andy Sauer got his hands raised. This is a big win for him. He said that he's going to focus on MMA now. And if that's his decision, good luck to him. He's done everything there is to do in kickboxing. He's been champion of the world. He's fought all over the world. Rizin's going to give him the opportunity. They're going to give him some good check. If he wants to do that towards the end of his career and do MMA, that's fine. Clearly, it'll show up when he actually goes against a predominantly MMA guy. But I'm happy for him. I wish him all the best. I still think he's going to fight both, for people who are asking. I still think he's going to do kickboxing too. There's no way he's going to turn down shootboxing money, who loves him. They're still going to bring him in to compete and do things for them. So I'm expecting that to happen. But I'm also expecting him to fight MMA maybe 2-3 times this year. So good luck for him down the road. Luis Tavares gets a victory over Raden Caro. Didn't see that one coming. I thought Caro was going to win. Now, I thought that Tavares isn't good, not good enough to win that fight. But I was real high on Raden Caro. I think that he's one of the better guys in the world. Around that 95 kg weight class, he could cut down if he wanted to. But I think he's at home there. Tavares is a guy. This is, I'd say, his biggest win. He's talented enough. I could see him on the Glory roster doing well. I just thought that it was a good win. Good win, good time. Good stuff by Luis Tavares. Ibrahim Elbouyni gets a victory over Fred Sicking. That one I did call. I just think that Fred Sicking is a tough dude who's going to show up, fight, give it his all. I just think that there's a certain level of guy who's always going to give him trouble, and he's always going to be kind of looking up at certain athletes. He's going to have to really work on consistent kickboxing for 9 minutes. Sometimes he does it for a round and a half, and then that's not enough to get your hands raised. And it's not a round and a half straight. It's a round and a half of total offensive work over three rounds. And that's usually why a guy like Ibrahim Elbouyni can get a victory over him. Muhammad El Mosadi gets a victory over Massaro Glunder. Glunder, I thought, had the ability to stop Mosadi. And it's not that I thought that Mosadi didn't have skill. I thought that he's a talented guy. I thought that he could do some things. The reason why I lean towards Glunder is because he sits in the power shots. He was just, you know, a split decision away from being the best in the world to weight class. But he's going to struggle with anybody that throws a lot of offense, a lot of offense, because sometimes he waits a little bit too much, sitting on knees and so on. It's the reason why he was able to beat Masaki Nori is because Glunder was throwing the offense and Nori was trying to play behind his guard, look for counters in between, and he scored here and there, but Glunder was scoring all the volume. Here, Muhammad El Mosadi was like the one with the volume, whereas Glunder was the guy looking and waiting for the big shot. So definitely shout out to Muhammad El Mosadi. He's a talented guy. Holland's a country with talent all over the place. This sort of thing happens. I remember Drago Gago in his you know, heyday. He went against Sim Braun, I want to say it was. He was the headliner of the card, his last fight in the card or whatever. Crowd loved his intro and so on. He's the next future star. He had just had his, he either just had or was going to have, no, he had just had his K-1 debut, if I'm remembering correctly, and he goes out there and he loses. That's what happens. The talent pool is so big in Holland that there's always going to be a next guy, so don't go think that there's just easy W's anywhere. There's a couple other notables. I don't want to get into them all. I'll go ahead and get to the tournament. There were some single fights on the undercard. I won't get into them all. Just some guys to look out for down the road. Definitely want to get into the tournament field here. First of all, we got to go tournament. We'll go heavyweights first. Sam Tevede gets a KO victory over Marcelo Adrians. And Fabio Quasi gets a victory over Brian Doze. Fabio Quasi then goes on to take the tournament by beating Sam Tevede. I like Fabio Quasi. I think that he's a good fighter. I think he could be something down the road. Two decisions, of course, is always going to make you wonder a little bit. In the heavyweight division, you want to see some bodies hitting the floor. Marcelo Adrians is a guy who's been used by Infusion before. He's just okay in skill set, not great. Sam Tevede, he's in that same area. Big win there, but I wasn't high on either guy. Fabio Quasi, I am decently high on. I thought that Brian Doze was still going to beat him, though, if I'm remembering how I had this played out in my mind. With that said, Quasi getting the win and an extra round win in the tournament. He's a guy to look out for. I mean, I've seen him fight a few times now. I just got to see consistency. That heavyweight division, like I said, there's room to move into it. You just got to be consistent and get your hands raised. So we'll see what goes on there. We move on to the 76 kg tournament, and this one's got a lot of stuff that I did expect. First and foremost, as soon as I saw that Mirtho was in the tournament, I thought he was going to win it, and he did. Mirtho Grunhart goes out there and beats Marco Piquet. Sim Braun gets a decision over Daryl Sitchman. I actually thought I had Sitchman winning that fight. Braun, again, as I mentioned before, been in the business for a long time. Long time. Steady fighter, still looking to fight towards the end of his career. I like him. I like him as a consistent body to go in there. But Mirtho Grunhart's a better fighter and athlete than all the guys in this field. So him getting his hands raised twice and getting a KO stoppage in the third round, no surprise there. Mirtho Grunhart did a great job of mentally bouncing back because in France, he didn't have his faculties together. Played the game too much, got too angry, didn't fight controlled. He returned to executing effective offense, gets tournament win here. Mirtho Grunhart's one of the best fighters in the world. There's still holes there. People can beat him with volume and kickboxing if they're steady. Sometimes he can be guilty of when he fights Nicky Holtzkin, he's a kickboxing machine. I think that guy can beat a lot of people because Nicky usually kind of brings a little bit more firepower when he sits on his shots. Even though Mirtho brings some firepower, Nicky's a little bit different there. But Mirtho goes against most guys, he just tries to run them over. And this night, he was a little bit of both, a little bit of running him over and a little bit of kickboxing. So shout out to him. Good stuff there. We go ahead and go into the women's tournament. Good names here and a good unlikely winner, the woman that I probably least thought had a chance to win the fight. Yona Wymans gets a victory over Daria Albers, and then Anissa Hadoi gets a victory over Sheena Wunderschoven. Sheena Wunderschoven is the one who I believe I had winning this tournament. I was wrong there. Anissa Hadid gets a victory over Yona Wymans in the finals. Anissa, name to look out for. This is a solid tournament win. The Infusion should jump in it now. Start using her. Like, she's Dutch trained, so she's in the area. I think that it's just about consistency, but she's a talent. She's a talent. Anybody beats Yona Wymans? Because Yona Wymans is, she's got the best style suited for international K1 type of fighting. I'd say her, Samantha Van Doorn, because they throw their hands and they got no problem kickboxing and then looking for, you know, switch kicks and they've got no problem playing that game. So she's got no problem playing that game. She doesn't need the hold. She doesn't play that. She's comfortable playing a distance kickboxing game. Anissa Dahl was also comfortable with it, was able to get the victory here. I want to see more of Anissa. Like, I've seen her before, but this was a kind of put yourself on the map type of tournament win. Definitely excited about her future. Good stuff and good card. You know, it's when I first heard about this, I was like, all right, you know, I don't know much about the card, don't know much about the athletes. I don't know what to expect from these guys moving forward. But then I see her get this kind of win and I go, okay, I know Yona Wymans. I've seen her before. I know Daria Albers. I've seen her before. This is Sheena Wendershoven. She's beating some good Infusion names. So now it's just about building on it. And World Fight League, if they can just do, they're not doing a bunch of shows, but if they do 3 shows a year, that's a win for kickboxing in the area. It's 3 opportunities for people to make money and get their names out there. So shout out to them. We're going to go ahead and zip over to Kunlun. Kunlun had, you know, they have their usual tournaments all over the place. And again, I won't talk about everything, because it's a big field to try to keep up with. But their 70kg tournament field this year had some good stuff in it because it had some notable names. Tayfun Oskin defeats David Kiria. David Kiria, it's been all downhill since the loss to Robin Van Roosmalen for the title. It's almost like his last bright spot in kickboxing was that left hook that he landed in the exchange to drop Robin Van Roosmalen in the third. Then Robin Van Roosmalen got up, got back to beating him in kickboxing, and won the title. Since then, a couple losses to Sidichai, stoppage loss last year. Losses on smaller organizations throughout the year. It's different. It's different. He's still a tough guy, still pursuing, still trying to be the best in the world, so shout out to him. But he's just struggling with the elite and the world. And it's safe to say that David Kiria is no longer a top 10 guy. Like, it's easy for me to see it. I really do believe that he's a tough guy, gonna get in a card, gonna do some good things, some notable things. He's just not the best in the world. He's not one of the best in the world. He's a good name that you can use that's gonna bring a good kickboxing style. He's had some cool wins in the past. Kim Sitsong Pyongyang, good cool win there. That comeback against Andy Ristie. Kiria can still put on good fights, but do I say, oh, you're going against top 15 guy, look out? No. I think you're going against David Kiria. That's one of the guys you should be trying to fight to see if you're one of the better guys in the world. He's kind of more gatekeeper now. Tayfun Oskin gets a victory there. In another pay attention to me type win, Wu Shu Song has now burst on the kickboxing scene. He went over Alex Oler, and I'm familiar with Alex Oler. He's a Brazilian fighter. I've seen him fight a few times now. TKO stoppage there. And then he goes on to KO stoppage Tayfun Oskin in the tournament final. That's how it's done right there. That is it. That is how you emerge on the scene as one of the new kickboxing stars. You don't just come in and win a fight. You come in and stop people. So this puts him in the same history of a Mike Zambides who came in and knocked Albert Krauss out. Like, you got to have that type of moment when you burst on the scene. Heavyweight division's full of them. You know, you go to Ray Sefo and his knockout of Jerome LeBanner. It's like that kind of shot over notable names in the sport, or decent names in the sport, and people are like, pay attention to this guy. Wu, W-U, Shusong, X-U-E-S-O-N-G. And I'm telling you, the left hook combo, like, he believed in it early. And he got into an exchange and he caught Tayfun and he dropped him. But later he kept looking for that shot. He knew that he threw the shorter, more direct, more powerful hook when he played the game with Tayfun Oskin. When he got in the pocket, he looked for the shot again and he landed even cleaner the next time around. Tayfun Oskin's a good fighter. He can still kickbox. He's still a notable name. He's still an exciting fighter. But, man, shout out to Wu Shusong, China, bringing up those athletes, doing a good job there, doing a good job there. I'm excited about his future. I want to see him compete more. This is that type of a win. This is the type of win that just makes me go, okay, this is a guy to pay attention to. Shout out to him and that card. I'm going to go ahead and move to, not going to do the whole card, but there is Brazil, WGP is an organization that goes down in Brazil. I've mentioned kickboxing fights from their cards before. Guto Inesante, who's coming off of his glory win or whatever, he got into a tournament fight down there, into a five-rounder down there, and he absolutely obliterated Lucas Alcina. Not only did he beat him just with kickboxing and steady, everything works, but at one period of time, he hurt Lucas to the body, backed him into the corner, and then he looked to go for a spinning back kick. Before he unleashed it to land, let it land, it's like he slowed down, realizing Lucas was done. And then instead of throwing the kick, he puts his foot back on the ground, and Lucas was just collapsed to his butt in the corner because he'd just been taking so much punishment. It is a great win for a guy who's developing their brand and growing all the time. And I want to see more of Guta. I want to see more of him winning and throwing consistent offense. Heavyweight division, I still think he's a 95-kg guy, 93-kg guy, but I like that he's consistent, so good stuff there. There were other fights on the card. The only other notable that I think I'm going to bring up is David Silveira. He gets a split decision victory over Wallace Lopez. Wallace Lopez is a guy who fought in the K-1 tournament. I believe he's fought on his Showtime back in the past, for sure, and his Showtime fought back in the past. He's a notable name, but yeah, I think that is it for as far as the results that I'm going to go off of. Again, I try to get a lot at you. I'm going to go ahead and hit some news and notes up here. One of the bigger news things that happened in the last couple of weeks is Tiffany Von Su signing with the Glory brand. That's huge. And first of all, it means that they're going into female combat sports, and they're starting with one particular athlete in the way that, you know, UFC decided that they're going to do it, and they did it because of Ronda, and, you know, they were like, okay, they're going to go with her. She's going to also do MMA. Her contract's opened up. I guess the line fight contract didn't allow her to do both, so now she's going to have Glory, and Glory's going to allow her to do both. She's going to fight Invicta, and she's also going to fight in Glory Kickboxing. First of all, she's campaigning at the weight class and in the women's sport. 54 kgs around there. That is the, around the, I said 54 kgs. No, that's correct. 54 kgs. That's around the weight class for the elite women. I'd say from 53 to 54, that's where the best women on the planet campaign regularly. Iman Barlow, Anissa Mexen, Samantha Van Dorn, they are around that weight class. That is the weight class to pay attention to. So definitely shout out to those women for taking those opportunities and so on. Like, that's huge for the sport. For the Glory brand to start with her, it won't make any sense if they just have her and then bring in some one individual for her to fight. It's kind of like a sideshow there. They've got to commit to the brand. So I'm fine with her having her debut in Los Angeles next month. That works for me. You know what I'm saying? Find the right opponent. I don't care who that opponent is. That opponent is your showcase fight. Doesn't necessarily need... Don't make it a title fight. Make it your showcase fight. Then say, we're going to do a women's Grand Prix later this year. And then call me, Stephen Wright, and I will give you the 54 women... Or the 54 kg women's tournament field you need to have to decide who's the best woman on the planet. Because it is stacked with fighters. It is stacked with fighters from all over the world. I'm excited to see what comes. And there's a lot of good, entertaining fighters that fight for and the women around that weight class. So I'm excited to see what's coming from the future. I really am. So shout out to her. Shout out to Glory for making that move. It really is exciting. I'm excited to see what comes from it. Another thing that was bounced around was the rumor of Badr Hara and Rico Verhoeven fighting. They were getting into like a little bit of verbal back and forth. Rico said they want to fight Badr Hara. Badr Hara, you know, says he's only going to fight one more time, but he was going back and forth as well. I two things. One, I do believe Bata Hari's still going to fight more than once. I think Bata Hari's got jail time in front of him that he's got to pay attention to. And then the biggest thing, and I said it on Twitter the other day, if Glory wanted him, they would have signed him. Plain simple. If they wanted Bata Hari, they would have signed him. And we are now getting ourselves into a generation of people who don't even know that Bata Hari was this great young prospect. People keep forgetting how far we are removed. There hasn't been a K-1 Grand Prix in the heavyweight division in like 5 years now. You know, it's been that long since Bata Hari. And Bata Hari didn't compete in it. You know, Overeem was the last notable winner of the K-1 World Grand Prix. And both Remy and Bata were out that year. So you got to go all the way back to, you know, even when I started doing the tournament, I keep forgetting. That was 2011 when I did that, excuse me, the documentary. 2011 when I was there to watch Bata Hari's return and see all the fans go crazy for him and, you know, the Moroccan French fans, to see them show up and support him when he made his return. That was 5 years ago. 5 years ago. When he was the young up-and-coming stud, that was from the mid-2000s to the late-2000s that he was a regular in your K-1 World Grand Prix, knocking people out with the image, you know, it was different, you know. It was just a different time. So 5 years is enough time for someone to fall in love with kickboxing and not really know Bata Hari was what people are saying that he is. So Rico knows, because Rico's still there, and Rico knows that he still has some names, and Rico's looking for big names now for his legacy. Because Rico's the man right now, but he doesn't have names for his legacy. If there's one thing that Remy still had when Remy became champion, he still had names out there. He could still get a Peter Arts win if he needed to. He could still get a Jerome LeBanner win. He was able to get the Jerome one. He wasn't able to get the Peter one. He wasn't able to get the Semi one. He was able to get the Hoost one. And that's kind of what happens. You know, like, that's what happens when you look at someone's career. And Rico sees that that's the thing missing. So for him to call out Bata Hari makes sense to me. But Bata Hari, if he's going to fight one more time, first of all, it's going to be for a certain promoter who's got questionable, you know, ties to drug organizations. I won't say his name. I'll just say that that guy has been putting on shows. And it doesn't mean that guy's up, you know, he's still giving, he's treating his fighters good because they're getting paid good and they're getting opportunities. But I will say, Bata Hari's probably going to fight for him if that happens. Hopefully he can fight in Holland again, because I still think he's a draw there. But I think Dave Walsh even said it on Twitter the other day. He goes, man, Tiffany Von Seuss gets more traffic on my site when I post something about her than when I post something about Bata. Because too much of Bata posts are not about fighting. You know, it's just kind of how it is. Now, again, Bata, when he fought Ishmael Lant, I go down my Facebook wall, I'm seeing all over the place. Fights, 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 fights. You know, like, his fight pops up. He's pretty popular. And the way Bacall is popular, if they fight, their fight ends up on people's walls. Because they're still kind of legends in the game. But as far as the guy that could sell tickets all over the world, I don't think he's that anymore. I think he could still sell in Holland. I think he could still sell in Morocco. But those audiences that he fought for, you know, like kind of Dubai, and those weren't huge audiences. They were okay. They weren't huge. Not for a guy who fought in K-1 Japan before. So we're at a different place. So we'll see where that rumor takes the sport. But it's interesting. But we'll see, Rico. Hopefully this tournament field that Glory's put together, I'll talk about it a little bit later, it'll produce the type of opponent that he needs to push his brand. Ishmael Lant, there's some good guys in that tournament field for sure. Bellator, I mean, we've got some good stuff. Bellator's kickboxing tournament, our card this weekend. I definitely want to get into all of this, but I think it's best to, you know what, let's go ahead and start breaking down the cards. We'll go ahead and round the show off on that. I got about 18 minutes. I want to try to keep it around an hour. You guys know how I do. I don't want to overfledge it with a whole bunch of things. Bellator kickboxing. First of all, it's awesome. They're using female fighters, they're using male fighters, they're using veteran guys, they're using guys who fought in Glory, they're using guys who fought K-1, they're using people, Full Rules, Muay Thai. It's just a good-looking card, good-looking card. Kevin Ross is going to take on Tuchuni, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'd see the double C, I believe that's the ch noise, for Tuchuni, I should say, for Italy. I think Kevin Ross wins this one. Matteo isn't on skill, but I'm going to go ahead and lean towards the American. It's just about him. The thing with Kevin Ross is how he fills gaps, because I think that he can make the sport easy on himself if he just plays combination and kick. He doesn't need to play like the Dutch. He can just get his hands going and then look for a single kick. Get his hands going, then look for a single kick. It doesn't necessarily have to flow, because he's got decent rhythm for finding his opportunities. He's got that sneaky head kick. It kind of scores more like a flash, not necessarily a kill head kick, but kind of more he can go to the body and he brings the leg up and he scores kind of a more like a cute score than a kill score. But I think Kevin Ross is going to be able to do enough to get this win in Italy. Good stuff for him and CSA Gym. Next in the card, Denise Kielholtz. She takes on Veronica Veronucci. This is one that, for me, is important, because Denise Kielholtz's kickboxing is big. Now, she's going to be doing both for them, but she's one of the best kickboxers on the planet. She's a top five fighter in the world. She's got the resume to prove it. She has been winning all over. She's been winning for a long time. Denise Kielholtz fighting kickboxing, all action. She beats Veronica Veronucci. She's a good athlete, good fast twitch, speed, fights in the pocket. Bites down on the mouthpiece, throws in combinations. She's just the kind of kickboxer that you want pushing the female brand of kickboxing. And it helps that she's attractive. It does. People don't want to hear that, but it helps that that she's physically attractive. That kind of stuff matters. Next fight on the card, I'm going to talk about Raymond Daniels. He takes on Francesco Murica. Francesco is a decent prospect, not to the level of Matteo is. Francesco's not bad. I still think the athleticism is the thing he's going to struggle with Raymond Daniels. Raymond Daniels' style gives people trouble, but it's the fact that he's a great athlete that gives them more trouble. He's very fast twitch. He's very quick. It's hard to get a read on that stuff when just in the angle of how it comes. But go ahead and get somebody who's as fast and as quick and as fast twitch as Raymond Daniels is. It makes it that much tougher. The only way, there are ways to beat Raymond Daniels. I won't say only way. He is open to body shots, and he is open to anybody who pressures and finds low kicks. Like, that kind of offense has success on him. But if you give him space to throw offense, if you wait, if you try to figure him out, it's already too late. Think about this. 10-3, these are his three losses. Twice to Nicky Holtzkin, once to Joseph Valtellini. Those are the best guys in the world. No shame there. This kid's tough. So go ahead and look for Raymond Daniels to go out and continue to improve and score successful offense. Next fight in the card, kickboxing. We've got Mustafa Haida, and he takes on Kareem Gaji. I love Kareem Gaji. He's got a great style, combinations, low kicks. I think he's going to outscore Mustafa Haida. Haida's got some good wins, but Haida's got a win over Andy Sauer. He's got a loss to Jordan Watson. He's fought elite guys. He scores offense, but I've always worried if he scored it consistent enough. I've never felt that he's scored it consistent enough. But, man, it's something that I want to see more of for sure. Haida scoring consistent offense is something I'd like to see more of. I think Kareem Gaji's not the guy to do it to. Gaji is the guy who's usually going to outpoint you because he's got the style. You've got to score something significant, because remember, Gaji went to an extra round with Nicky Holtzkin. So he is as talented as they come, but he can be hit in return. I got Kareem Gaji winning an awesome, awesome fight. I think this is going to be the fight of the night on this card. And then the last one, as far as the televised portion of this fight card goes, Melvin Manhoff gets a KO victory, in my opinion, over Alexandre Negrea. It's just Melvin. He's going to put in the work to score the kind of offense it takes to beat elite guys, but just his kickboxing flow, because his kickboxing flow is as Dutch style as it gets. He's going to go hands to kick, no problem. He knows how to play that game very, very easy. It's not something that's difficult for him. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that separates him from a lot of other people is when he gets that combination and kick flow going, he's just another human being. He really, really does put together, what in my opinion is one of the better kickboxing styles with stoppage power in there, here and there. Now, of course, he's got the chin. The chin, of course, is questionable. But we'll see. You know, I'm curious to see what this card brings down the road. There are a couple other notables that won't make the air. Anastasia Yankova, for example, she won't, you know, make the air. She won't be on the air telecast as far as I know of. But, you know, she's, again, an attractive woman who's fighting on the card. Definitely pay attention to her. She's a solid fighter. And then we've got, who am I forgetting? You know, I brought up George Petrosian. His opponents have moved around a few times or whatever. He is on the octagon portion of the card. Again, his won't be televised. But, you know, he's George Petrosian, always all action there. So I'll make sure I get a full breakdown when the fights pop up. But it's good stuff. I'm excited about this fight card. It's anybody that's invested into the kickboxing brand, it makes me happy as a fight fan. Now, again, people struggle with it because it's not under one banner, and that's what they're used to. We've got, like, a lot of kickboxing opportunities, whereas before we had just the one. You know, we had just K1, and everybody else is just kind of playing, you know, second. I mean, I won't necessarily mean second in terms of it being a bad thing, but it's just they weren't what K1 was. And that's one of the things that people struggle with. They struggle with the idea that now that we don't have just the one banner, kickboxing's dead. And that's not the case. You know, it really is something that if you pay attention to the sport, you pay attention to the athletes and the opportunities that they're getting to compete now, you're going to see that, man, it really is a great time to be a kickboxing fan. And this Glory card is just another example of that. So pay attention to what's happening to the sport as a whole, and you guys are really going to see a lot of enjoyable, you know, moments in the kickboxing brand. Going to go ahead and go to Kunlun, go ahead and do a quick breakdown of their fight card. They've got some really good stuff on this April. Well, it's April 23rd, so I think I'm going to save it. I'll save that one for next week. Because it's got great fights all over the place. It's probably one of the better Kunlun fights of the year. It's got Artur Kashenko, Mirza Grinhardt on it. It's got Wang Gihang and Rachel Ademus on it. It's a great card. Wang Gihang is another girl who's one of the best fighters in the world. I'm excited about what's coming from this sport and the athletes that are participating. There's a lot of good opportunities. But let's go ahead and wrap this card up with a quick Glory breakdown. Glory Copenhagen is the same as Glory France, and what I mean by that is I look at it top to bottom. I say, okay, this represents the best fighters in the world. Like, this card represents the best fighters in the world. There are a couple fights here and there where I'm like, all right, you guys are getting opportunities. Don't know if you guys necessarily represent the best, but I like them. I like what they're doing with some of these undercard matchups. This card is not to the level of a French card by no stretch of the imagination, but the heavyweights are legit, the main card is legit, and then there's, like, I'd say three of the five undercard fights are for sure Glory level to be paying attention to. So go ahead, jump into it. Haraka Gorian takes on Maximo Suarez. First fight of the night, be at your computers on Fight Pass watching this card from the beginning, because Haraka Gorian versus Maximo Suarez is going to be one of the most awesome things that you've ever seen in your life. Maximo Suarez brings the fight. This is a combination and kick machine. It says he's a welterweight. Not a big fan there because he carries a little weight around the stomach. I always feel like he's better at home fighting at, you know, lightweight, fighting at 155, 154 pounds. But Haraka Gorian, he brings the same style his brother brings. They bring that pressure. They're going to be in your face. They're going to be combination kicks. But the main thing is they're walking forward. Suarez is going to find his moments to get his combination and kick flow going. One of the smoothest kickboxing flows on the planet, Maximo Suarez, the Spaniard. This fight's all action. You will love every bit of it. Part of me is leaning towards Haraka Gorian because of that pressure. Suarez is going to score. He really only struggles with people who kind of bring like a clinch game. But as long as you're playing in space, Maximo Suarez usually does a pretty good job of scoring. He usually just kind of struggles, like I said, clinch, and then sometimes power. Like Enrico Kiel was able to just be stronger than him with a lot of his return shots. So should be all action, combination kick fest here. Make sure you are at your TV for this one. Next fight on the card, you know, as I look at these undercard fights, I'm going to let them play out a little bit more. I want to know more about these guys. I did kind of my side notes, but it just wasn't so high on, you know, going real deep into Shihad Kapanek and then Thomas Monzi, and then we have Rasan, Muharib, and he's got Abdul Karim Chor. I watch kickboxing all the time. These names are names that are, you know, more specific to the area of where this is fighting in some of these cases, and they're just, you know, they're not names that I feel necessarily reflect the best fighters in the world as of right now. So I'm just going to give them the opportunity to kind of develop. You know, I just think that they're, you know, Denmark guys that got on the card. My focus is going to be mainly on international kickboxing and the fights that have something to do with that. So I move back into it, and we talk about welterweight. We got Sweden's Moran Zangana, and he's going to take on Hanatan Olvera. If there's a guy who I think is ripe for the picking for anybody to get a victory over, it's Hanatan Olvera. I don't feel like he scores enough consistent kickboxing. So if Zangana does enough, like if, I mean, it'll be in his, you know, hometown, the crowd will be cheering for him and so on, whatever. If he brings enough effective offense, he can win this fight. Because sometimes Olvera doesn't have KO pop. Sometimes he lets rounds and he let things go by. If you can bring the offense, you can get the win. If not, Olvera, who is a product of the Hemmers gym, and that's what got him these opportunities. He's a Brazilian fighter. He's gotten international opportunities. He fought a lot of elite guys. Hasn't always had a lot of elite wins. More than times than not, he's come up short against those guys. And by more times than not, I'd say the majority of the time. But he's a guy to be paying attention to. He's got the one glory win, and he'd be a good win if Zangana can get it. He'd be a good one to have on the resume. But in truth, if he just allows things to, you know, space, the win over Nicola Gala in London a long time ago, Adekan Aslan, those guys aren't huge, huge victories, but they're solid glory victories, and they're more than I can say at this point for Zangana. So he can bring it. He can get it upset. Olvera's the type to get it on. An interesting fight, Zinedine Hamir Lane, is he's going to go against Zach Mukasa. I think Zach Mukasa is going to win by KO here. I think Hamir Lane has got the ability to score offense consistent and try to keep the earmuffs up. I just feel like it just would be a matter of time before Mukasa. He's so big and strong that anything that Zinedine does, if there's no heat behind it, Mukasa is just going to walk right through it. And then you've done yourself no favors. You just got a really strong, athletic, beast of a man walking through your offense and scoring big shots. Eventually, he's going to get through if you can't offer something to stop him. And Zach Mukasa is just, you know, outside of that head kick he took, he's got a good chin on him, and he usually keeps moving forward. I think he wins by KO. We move to the main card. And the main card, we've got a very solid tournament field. Anderson Broderick Silva gets Ismael Lant, and then we have Kirill Kornilov as he gets Jafar Wilnes. Jafar Wilnes beats Kornilov. I think that he's got the consistent kickboxing. I wouldn't be surprised if a low kick got him, you know, a couple downs to get him to move on, but I don't think so. I think Wilnes does enough to get a decision victory. I think he moves on to face Anderson Broderick Silva. He's got good, steady kickboxing, but I've always had issue with his chin, and if there's a guy who can test it, it's Ismael Lant. Ismael Lant, he can score consistent kickboxing, but Ismael Lant does these really savvy things where he can load up on punch from either hand and switch stance right in exchange. We're talking about a guy who dropped out of Hari. He's got a lot of big, you know, he's got some wins. He's got the miracle loss in that K1 Grand Prix tournament that wasn't that great a couple years ago. But Lant's got the ability to hit Silva with something and put him down. And I think he does so. I think he moves on to fight Wilnes. I lean towards Wilnes to get a decision, but I do think that Lant is going to score something to put Wilnes down, at least put him on his butt, if not stop him. I'm going to pick Ismael Lant to win this tournament field. Some of that fan, some of that thinking skill set, he's got what it takes to get this done. Ismael Lant, guy to watch this weekend. He is a kickboxing talent. It's just about consistent offense with him. He's got the firepower. If he brings the consistent offense, he will win. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about is replacement. See here, Adam and Chuck, your glory featherweight champion. He's going to take on Muhammad Elmir. Muhammad Elmir is a guy who's I've seen fight several times over the year. He is he's based in Denmark. He's fought, I'm going to go ahead and check it. Glory won. I was right. Glory won. That's when he fought Albert Krauss. He lost the decision there. I just don't see him scoring enough on Adamczyk. Adamczyk, and now that he's the bigger guy, maybe he can walk Adamczyk down and score some offense. But Adamczyk is literally taking this fight on 2 days' notice, something that he's done before. When he fought Marat Gurian, he fought him on a couple days' notice. But Elmir was, excited to just fight in the car, excited to fight in front of his Denmark fans. He's going to come out, and I think he's going to give good effort. I think that he can win with pressure and with combinations because he's bigger. But I just think this savvier Adamczyk will be able to outscore him. And I think Adamczyk gets this win, even though it's not for a title. It's at a bigger weight. It's just Adamczyk being Adamczyk, taking short notice fights. And now the fight we came to see. Nicky Holtzkin is going to beat Johan Kangulo. Johan Kangulo is a good kickboxer. He's strong. He's going to throw some good shots. But really, you've got to do something to put Nicky Holtzkin down, because Nicky Holtzkin's just going to get stronger as the fight goes. He's going to find the body shots, and the next thing you know, your offense is going to go way down, and his offense is going to stay the same. Nicky Holtzkin's all action. This is the type of fight where the guy in front of him can make him look good. Kangulo, of course, he fought Mirko Grunhart and was dropped, and then came back and was able to make it to the decision. But I just think Nicky Holtzkin's a different animal. I think he's a very, very talented dude. I think he's one of the best fighters on the planet. And, of course, he represents kickboxing well because he's so skilled. His fights are the way it's like, you want to know about kickboxing? Watch this guy. That's what you always want from your stars in the game. There are some people who get wins in your sport, but you don't want to mention their names. You know, I'm a big boxing fan. There are guys who I'm like, if somebody would be like, hey, tell me about boxing, I would not show them Tyson Fury Klitschko. No way. I'm going to show them something. I'm going to show them Canelo Cotto. I'm going to show them something like that. Nicky Holtzkin consistently brings fights that celebrate the skill level of the sport. So shout out to Nicky Holtzkin. Shout out to Glory. That's going down this Saturday. Bellator is going down this. The Bellator kickboxing is going on this Saturday. We got great kickboxing all over the place. Go out, enjoy the combat sports, you guys, and support your kickboxing. Love you all. God bless. Peace. Have a good one.